Well, can I ask you please to turn with me in your Bible? We're turning to Numbers chapter 21 today. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible, the chapter 21, and we're going to commence at the start of the chapter. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor, by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. We'll end our reading there, the end of verse 10. We trust the Lord to bless the public reading of his word to each one of us. Well, can I ask you please to turn with me in your Bible, returning to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, and I just want to read a few of the verses together from verse 21, just down to verse 23. The Lord is the speaker here. And in Isaiah 45 and verse 21, he declares, Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. The end there at the end of verse 23. Let's pray together and seek the Lord's help and blessing. Our God, we do thank thee for the portion of Scripture which we have just read together. And we're thankful that we do not come today to merely a dead book, but we're thankful that this is the living Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, that the things set before us here are profitable for our soul. And therefore we ask that you would give grace so that each of us would take heed in that right manner, that we would not despise this precious word. So, Lord, come and minister the word to each one of us now. I ask thee for the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to teach the word aright and to glorify Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Be with us and bless us and glorify Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
In Numbers chapter 21, which we read a little earlier, you find the people of Israel in a great time of difficulty and distress. The people had recently spoken out against Moses, God's appointed man, and they'd spoken out against the Lord as well. And their cry at that time essentially was, "What have you brought us here for? Into the middle of the desert? Why have you brought us out from Egypt into the wilderness to die?" At that time, they despised God's provision. God had provided manna from heaven so that the people had food, and yet they were despising it. They were saying that they didn't really want that bread any longer. They wanted a taste for something else. And they were lifting their voice in rebellion against the Lord and against his servant. Well, in response, the Lord responded to their sin the way the Lord always responds to sin. He sent judgment. And in their case, fiery serpents or poisonous snakes were sent among the people. And many of the Israelites were being bitten by these poisonous snakes. And if you were standing in the middle of the camp on that particular day, you would see many, many Israelites on the ground already in pain. You would perhaps see some dead bodies lying motionless because the grip of the venom has taken grip. The people were dying. And families were dying, and the nation was dying. It was a day of great trouble and difficulty for the people, a day of disaster. And finally, the people came to their senses. They approached Moses and confessed their sin and asked Moses, the man of God, to pray for them. The Lord, I said, responds to their sin the way he always responds. He sends judgment. Well, he responds to their confession and their repentance, the way he always does. He provided deliverance. His mercy was seen in giving an answer. The Lord on that occasion declared to Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole." And so Moses was tasked with crafting this bronze serpent, setting it up on a pole there in the midst of the camp, so that the promise that was given would be fulfilled. "Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." There it is in the middle of the camp, this bronze pole, this bronze serpent upon the pole. You have a multitude of people round about. They've been bitten by these snakes. They're dying. And the instruction is quickly passed out to the people. "You who are dying, look. Look and live. Look at the bronze serpent. Turn your eyes and look on that bronze serpent and you will live." God's word came true. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And I suggest to you that that day, if they learned nothing else, the Israelites learned the value of a look. They learned how important it was to simply follow God's command and look when the Lord tells us to look. The Lord had provided a remarkable remedy here, a deliverance for the people, and all that was asked of them was to look. Nothing else. Nothing more complicated. Simply to turn their gaze and to look. Well, now we come to Isaiah's day, many days later, and the Lord here before us gives a very similar command, except this time he is not drawing our attention to look at a brass serpent. He draws our attention to a sight that is much more important. He says in verse 22 of Isaiah 45, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Now, the people of Isaiah's day were not bitten by poisonous snakes. They didn't have snake venom in their blood. But they were dying all the same. They were dying the same as you and I are dying, infected with that greater poison, the poison of sin. Sin which brings us death. And to this dying people, and to all dying people, the Lord gives this gracious instruction. He says, "Look unto me. Look unto me, and be ye saved." We're thinking then about looking unto the Lord. Looking unto the Lord. And notice here the command to look, first and foremost. There is a command to look. The words are not used in a flippant manner. This is not just a take it or leave it statement. This is a command that is spoken with great authority. Just like an experienced doctor can come and can declare to the patient, here's what the problem is, and here's what you have to do. Now, you must do this if you want to recover. And he declares with authority what the remedy is. So the Lord here comes and he declares with authority, you who are dying, here's what you must do. Here is my command. Look unto me. Now, notice the source of this command. I've already indicated that it is the Lord. But we read the words there, look unto me. And the question has to be, who is the me? Who is it that's speaking? Well, the speaker gives us the answer. He declares in the verse itself, I am God, and there is none else. So the speaker is God. It is the Lord. But as you think of that then, that God is speaking, and we're thinking of this command, it's a command that comes with the highest authority. If I stand here and tell you, look unto me, well, there's not much authority to back up my claim. I have no more authority than you have. But when God is the speaker, there is great authority, the highest authority. And you would do well to take heed to this command. But we can be more specific than saying that God is the speaker. I suggest to you that the speaker here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the God-man, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, and he can rightly claim to be God. He can say, I am God, and there is none else. He's also the one who can claim, as he says in verse 21, who can claim to be a just God and a Saviour. Who is the Saviour? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one given by God to save sinful men and women. He is the only one who can redeem us from out of our sin. He is the Saviour. And so he declares himself to be a Saviour here. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who fully speaks in this passage. In verse 23, he also declares, unto me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. And that's quoted in Philippians 2. With reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow to Christ. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so the speaker here is Christ, the only Saviour. And he's the one who utters this command, who calls to you and he calls to me. And he says, you who are dying, look unto me. Look to me and live. Look unto me and be ye saved. Now what a blessing that is. Here we are, and we are all dying in our sin. We are facing the prospect of a coming death and of eternity that lies beyond that. We're faced with very serious problems as to where our eternity will be. Our sin would take us to hell and to destruction. And yet, here is a gracious command from the Lord himself, from Jesus Christ, the appointed Saviour, and he says, look unto me, and be ye saved. What a command. Will you obey that command today? Or are you obeying that command? Can you say today, yes, I am looking onto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm looking to him, and by him I'm saved. Will you obey that command? Or are you ignoring that command? You could notice the scope of the command as well. This isn't spoken just to one individual person. This isn't a command just for Israel. This is a command for all the ends of the earth. In verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And so here is a command which God gives, which the Lord Jesus Christ gives, that speaks to every man, woman, young person, boy and girl. Here is a command that applies to you and to me. Here is a command that you cannot get away from. The Lord directs it to you. All the ends of the earth. Do you live in God's earth? Well then, here's a command for you. God, the God of all the earth, your God, has something to say. And he has something to say to you. It's a command for you. To disobey it, to neglect it, is a great crime against God. It's a great crime against the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shall be your judge. Are you going to heed this command that is given to you? Notice the simplicity of the command. It's a very simple command. There's not a lot asked of us here. In verse 22, the Savior says, "Look unto me." When the Lord makes this demand to dying sinners like ourselves, he doesn't call for us to do something great and mighty. He doesn't call for some noble act. He doesn't command for you to find the remedy yourself or work long hours to undo damage that has been done. He doesn't command you to achieve some great feat in order to earn his pleasure. He doesn't ask you to dig the poison of sin from out of yourself and to correct yourself and make yourself right. No, his command is very simple. He says, "Look unto me." Simply look. I mean, how much easier could the command get? Look. Look unto me. It's simple. What could be simpler than moving your eyes? It's a simple command. When you come into the church building, you're very quick, I'm sure, to move your eyes around. And especially if you're not the first here, you'll be coming in. There's maybe some people in the seats already, and you'll be looking around. And oh, they're in, and there's so-and-so, they're there as well. Good to see them. And your eyes are moving so quickly. So many times in the day, your eyes flick this direction and that direction. It barely takes a thought. It's a simple thing to shift our gaze and to look upon other things. Christ says, "Move your eyes and set them on me. Simply look. Just turn your attention to me." It's a simple command. And since it is a simple command, what is there to hinder you? What is there to hinder? What is there to hold you back? It's a simple command. It's simple. The Lord does not ask something that is impossible. He doesn't ask something that is unthinkable. He simply asks for that look of faith. Here's a command from the Lord, a command to you, and he calls you to do something very straightforward. Look unto me. Notice here as well in this passage an encouragement to look. The Lord gives the command to look, but he also gives an encouraging explanation as to why you should look. If you were facing a serious disease, and I command you and I say, "Well, you come to me, and I'll sort you out, I'll fix the problem." Well, there's not much point in you obeying my command. I might command you, "You come to me and I'll solve your physical problem. I'll cure the disease in your body." But there's not much point you obeying me. I can't do anything for you. I can pray for you, but I certainly can't. I'm not a doctor. I can't, in my own power, rid you of a physical disease. There's no point obeying me. Well, Christ gives the command here. He says, "Look unto me." But he also gives a reason, a good reason, why you should look unto him. He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Why? "For I am God." For I am God. And when he declares, "I am God," he is declaring, "I am the one who has power, who has ability to meet your need." The reality is that each one of us is infected with the most severe of diseases, the disease of sin. We are born into this world as sinners. We live our lives defying the Lord. We live our lives breaking his commands. We live our lives heaping up upon ourselves judgment to face. We need a great physician. We need one with power who is able to set us free. Our sin is a dreadful thing, an abominable thing. It defiles you. It disgraces you. It enslaves you. It separates you from God. It brings upon you the judgment of the Lord. It brings you shame, restlessness, misery, ultimately death, eternal death as well. It's a dreadful thing. We need a great physician. Given the severity, we need one with power. If you had a very serious and rare disease, it doesn't do you much good to go to maybe the regular doctor just out of medical school. He doesn't have the skill, perhaps, to understand your condition, to meet your need. He doesn't know how to remedy it. You would need the specialist, and that's why he'll send you on to the specialist. Well, we have a great problem in our sin. A dreadful problem, a terrifying problem. And it takes one with mighty power to deliver us. It takes one with great power to be able to save us. And Christ here is declaring, I am the one who can do it. Look unto me and be ye saved. Why? For I am God. I am God. Because Christ is God, he was able to come into this sin-cursed world. He could stand above the corruptions of man without being tainted. He was able to live an impeccable life without sin. He was able to go to the cross, and being the God-man, his sacrifice upon that cross was acceptable and accepted on behalf of sinners. Upon the cross, being God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ was able to bear up under that infinite, dreadful wrath of God that fell upon his head for sin. He was able to take every stroke of the rod that should smite you. He was able to bear every bruise that should colour your back. He was able to receive the fullness of God's wrath that ought to have seen you cast into God's hell. If someone claims to be a doctor, but they don't have the necessary qualifications, well, their claim is pretty much useless. It's not much point going to them. They might call themselves a doctor, but if they're not qualified, if they don't know what they're talking about, well, they can't help you. Someone who claims to be a savior, but he doesn't have the qualifications, is useless. And if Christ wasn't qualified to save, well, there's no point you obeying his command. He can't do anything for you. But he has got the qualifications. He has. He's the one who is able to save, because while he is man, he is also God. He is the mighty one. He is the God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his power. What are your thoughts of Jesus Christ today? Are you looking to him? Are you looking to him? Are you finding him to be the great physician who is able to deal with your sin? The one who is qualified. He calls out to you and he says simply, look unto me. Oh, look. Look to me and I will save you. I will fit you for heaven. I will deal with your sin. Full remedy will be given. Look unto me and be ye saved. Notice the result of this look as well. The result of this look. The Lord says here, look unto me and be ye saved. And the point is that if you look, you will be saved. If you had a serious disease and you were to go to a doctor with the problem, well, he would diagnose your problem, and then he would recommend a course of treatment, and it probably depends on what the particular disease was, but the likely thing is that having explained the treatment that he is recommending, he would also have to maybe explain other potential outcomes of the treatment. And perhaps he would have to say to you, well, the best scenario is that this will cure your disease entirely, but you have to bear in mind that there might also be side effects. There might also be other things that will happen. And maybe there's a possibility that the treatment won't work at all. Maybe this is it only works in 80% of cases, or it only works half the time. It's worth trying it, but we just don't know that it will do what's needed. And then the patient If it's you, you go through this course of treatment, and all the while you're hoping, you're praying that things work out well, you're hoping that it does what it's meant to do and that it cures you, but you're nervous all the time in case there should be a complication. You're not able to say with confidence that this will do what you need it to do. But that's not the case with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the case with his dealing with your sin and mine. Here, Christ presents the guaranteed, the certain result of this look of faith. And he doesn't need to warn you about other potential outcomes. He doesn't need to tell you about negative side effects. He doesn't need to say to you, well, this will usually work, but we might have to go to plan B. No, the result that's set before us here is a sure result. It is certain. It is set in stone. Look unto me and be ye saved. He's saying, look unto me, and this is what you will experience. You will be saved. Essentially, he's saying, look and live. That's the result. You look by faith, and live. Scripture, time after time, testifies to this sure result, that if you look by faith to Jesus Christ, if you rest in what he has done when he went to the cross and he died there, bearing your sin, bearing your shame, bearing the wrath of God against your sin, you look by faith, and here's the result. You'll live. You'll live. It's a sure thing. Acts 10, verse 43, for example, says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Acts 13, verse 39 says that all that believe, and we're thinking of that look of faith, all that believe are justified from all things. Romans 3, verse 28 tells us that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Whosoever believeth in Christ should not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:15. And these scripture references heap upon themselves, emphasizing to you, you believe in Jesus Christ, put your trust there, rest in what he has done, cast off all other hope, and you will find that he will save you. He will. It is a certain result. This is the guarantee that is given to the child of God, the one resting in Christ. You are saved. You shall be saved. It's not an 80% probability. It's not even a 99% probability. It is a 100% guarantee. If you're resting in Christ today, you are saved. And if you should look to Jesus Christ today, you will be saved. You'll live. Now, with such a prospect set before you, with this absolute guarantee given to you by God himself, the one who cannot lie, what is there to hinder us from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? What is there to keep us back from availing of this precious promise? If you had a serious disease and perhaps nothing else had worked to cure it, and then someone comes along and they tell you, someone that you can trust, and they tell you, here's the remedy. I have it. Here it is. Would you not snap their hand off for it? You'd say to yourself, well, I've had no hope. I've had no prospects before. Everything else has failed, and you're telling me that this will certainly work. Would you not snap their hand off for that? In fact, if someone came to you and you were dying with a disease, you thought to yourself, well, I've only got a few months left. And they say to you, well, here is the remedy. This is guaranteed. And then they say to you, well, it's not going to be pleasant taking this. There's going to be a lot of side effects. There's going to be a lot of trouble. It's going to be pretty miserable going, but this will certainly work. I suggest to you, you would still take it. Even with all the troubles, you would still take it if it was going to cure you entirely. And if you were guaranteed that, you would take it. Well, here's the Lord. And he comes to you and me with an absolute guarantee regarding our eternal state. He says, you look to me. He's not asking something unpleasant. He's not asking something that's hard and difficult. He's not asking something that is going to give us great trouble throughout our lives. No, he's giving us a good command, something that's pleasant to do, to look onto Christ. And he says, you do this and you'll live. Do this and live. It's your guarantee. Continue to walk in sin. Continue to neglect Christ. And you can be sure. You can be sure that you will be brought shame, restlessness, misery, death. These things come. They follow the footsteps of sin. These things will come your way if you walk that path. But if you stop, and if you'll obey the command and simply look by faith to Jesus Christ, the man who died on the tree in the place of sinners, the one who, as God cries out to you, look unto me, if you'll obey the command, you'll be saved. You'll be healed. Finally, here in this verse, I want you to notice one more thing. Notice the necessity of this look. The necessity of this look. It's so important that we do take this look to the Lord Jesus Christ, this look of faith. The Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And if that's where his statement stopped, it would be enough. You know, there we have contained enough to encourage us to look to the Lord. Look to him because he has told us what will happen. He'll save us. Look to him because he is God. He can assure us of this. He has the power to do it. There's enough there. And yet, that's not where the Lord stops. He adds a few extra words on. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And what is being taught to you there is that he alone is the Savior. Yes, look to him, because he is God, and therefore he is able to save you. But look to him because there is no other beside him. There is no other source of salvation. There is no other Savior to whom you can look. Look to him because if you neglect to look, you will be guaranteed destruction and loss. I said that you're guaranteed life, health, strength, eternal life, if you'll look to Christ, look and live. But if you'll neglect to look, well, you're guaranteed the opposite. There is none else. There is no other source of these things but the Lord Jesus Christ. If you neglect to look, if you neglect to set your faith in the Lord, you will find that your sin will destroy you. Now, you might have a very pleasant and comfortable life all your days on this earth. I don't know how the things will be with you in that sphere. But certainly, if you reject Christ, you will find at the end of it all that your sin will destroy you. Even if you have that comfortable life, even if all seems to go well in this scene of time, the day will come when you stand before the judgment seat and your sin will destroy you. If you neglect to look to Christ, there will be no remedy in any other place. There is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, he says, for I am God, and there is none else. What is it that gives you hope for heaven today? I trust that each one of us here wants to go to heaven. But the question isn't so much, do you want to go to heaven? The question is, how are you going to get there? What is your hope based on? What's the foundation of your hope? If your answer to that question is anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then the reality is, if you walk that path, you'll not be in heaven. You'll just not be there. There is none else. There's no other that can give you peace with God. There's no other that can deal with your sin. There's no other that can get you into heaven. How are you going to get there? What's the foundation of your hope? Is it Christ? To reach heaven, you need your sin dealt with. You need the cure, and the cure is found in Jesus Christ alone. There is none else. I want you to think of those individuals in Israel, back when those snakes were coming in and biting the people. Can you think of the foolishness that it would be if you thought of an individual and he'd been bitten by a snake? He's lying there on the ground, he's in pain, probably crying out in agony. And someone comes to him and they say, "Well, you've been bitten, you don't have long left, but I've got good news for you, friend. If you simply turn your head, Moses has erected a bronze serpent, and God has promised, if you turn your head and you look at that, you're going to live. The poison will be dealt with, the Lord will save you, your life will be spared." Can you imagine if that person said, "I'm not going to look. I'll not bother. There's no point. There's no point." You would say, "What a fool you're being. What a fool. Would you not simply turn your head? It's not a hard thing to do. Turn your head. Look at the thing. And God promises you will live." You'd say, "What a fool. You're sitting there. You're saying it won't work. There's no point. Why not look? Why not look?" Can you think of the person sitting there and he's been bitten by the snake, he's on the ground, he's in agony, and you're saying to him, "Turn your head and look at the bronze serpent. Go on, look at it, and you'll live." And he says to you, "You know, I'm not too bad yet. Now, yes, I mean, here I am on the ground, I'm in agony. That's true, but it could be worse. I'm not that bad yet. I'll wait until I really feel that I'm at the point of death, and then I'll turn my head. It's not too bad yet." Again, you'd say, "Well, what a fool you're being. Would you not turn your head? You don't need to wait until the point of death. Do it now. Turn your head. Look at the bronze serpent and live. The effects will be gone. You'll have freedom from the disease. You'll have liberty. You'll be raised up in strength. Would you not turn your head and look?" What if there was someone there and they said to themselves, "Well, I'll make a herbal remedy. You know, I'll go home and I'll mix up some spices in my home and I'll try and, I don't know, I'll take some honey and lemon for the poison of the serpent and see if that works. I'll make a remedy of my own. I'll try that first." Would you not again say to them, "What a fool you're being. What a fool. Turn your head. The remedy's right there. Just behind you. Just turn your head around and look at the bronze serpent. You'll live." I mean, those examples are all ridiculous. You would think to yourself, "Well, surely there would be no Israelite would act like that. Would they not all turn their head and look?" And I'm sure they did. But how many people there are who act just like that with regard to Christ? Are there not those who say, "I'm not too bad. I don't see the effects of sin too severely in my own life. There's no point in looking to Christ. I don't need Christ just yet." Are there not those who say, "Well, there's no point. It won't work. I'm too sinful. Christ couldn't save me." And rather than trust the promise of God, you go on with things neglecting Christ when Christ says, "Simply turn your head. Would you not look? I'll save you." Are there not so many who make the herbal remedy? And they'll say, "Well, I'm hoping to get to heaven my way. I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do the other thing, and surely these things will get me to heaven." And they're resting in the things that they do. And all the while we have to cry out, "What a fool you're being. God has provided the remedy. It's right there. Jesus Christ has been crucified, and today he calls for sinners to turn their heads and look and live." Have you looked to Christ to live? He cries out saying, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God." And then he gives the warning, "And there is none else." When Christ sets before you today such a simple command, when he assures you of the certain salvation which will result, when he declares to you his perfect ability to bring this remedy, and then when he warns you that there is no other hope for your soul, would you not look in obedience? Simply look. And today, find life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look and live. May God bless his word to us today. Amen.